baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Pop. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cullen.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight. Cream corn tonight. That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
And I'll count us down in 5, 4, 3. You didn't say 2 and 1. We just don't. Okay? Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Not too bad. Just I was excited for a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, it's good times when it's a 3-day weekend.
To do a lot of nothing, you know.
A lot of OMA tomfoolery happening.
Taking some walks, you know, getting some exercise, doing what I can.
I've been taking so many walks with the cat that I'm starting to build up rapport with neighbors. They're like, how's Meredith? And people will be like, oh, I don't want to get in your way because they'll see me like filming. I'm like, it's not a real like shoot. It's okay. And they're like,
it is LA. People assume that everything is a shoot. Why would you exist if it's not on camera?
That's one great thing about LA is even if you're taking like something on your cell phone, people will respect, like, then it won't get in there because they know it's like for Instagram or something. We were talking about what you've been watching, and I wanted to just say, I've been watching a lot of reruns, but generally speaking, Brady Bunch, you can't ever go wrong with. Am I right?
Except for, you know, the Oliver years, you know.
That's what I was going to say. I cannot watch the Cousin Oliver ones. It's
that
poor kid. I mean, his whole life, he's that kid, but they're just so bad.
Yeah. What are you watching them on? Where are you watching this Brady? Where are you watching this Brady Bunch?
I was talking to somebody about it, and then I was watching a YouTube clip or something.
Yeah.
But that put me down the rabbit hole of all the great, like, Brady Bunch stuff. And I haven't watched episodes on streaming. Gotcha. I don't think they're anywhere that I've seen.
Gotcha. So it's illegal, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Don't try anything.
Piracy. But aside from Cousin Oliver, they're always just such a fun rabbit hole to go down.
Well, yeah, you never know. You know, everything will be solved. 22 minutes and
wholesome.
And the house is now for sale, as we all know.
The Brady Bunch Studio City, right?
Yes, yes. So the redone house. So should be worth. I do. Somebody really needs to Airbnb it. People would pay dearly, I think.
It might be the most iconic TV house next to, you know, 3 or 4 others. It's just, that's the house.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite Brady Bunch episode?
No, I like I don't have a favorite one, but I do like the mid point of the series, I guess, when they're all a little bit older, but it's before it got kind of crazy. I do like when Greg gets a car. I don't know. What about you? Do you have like an episode?
For some reason, I remember when Greg got caught smoking or with a cigarette.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Not only when you lie to yourself, but you lie to other people.
Yeah.
You're hurting yourself. Thanks, Dad.
And then, of course, you know, any Jan-centric. And now things kind of merge together. You know, obviously, when Jan gets the wig on, it's a sad episode, you know, where she's laughed at the party. But
it is sad.
I still, hey, everybody, it's the new Jan Brady.
you get them confused with the movies. You're like, well, was this real or what happened?
Especially Marcia Brady. Like, the movie's Marcia Brady seems more Marcia Brady than the TV show now.
Yeah. Christine Taylor over Maureen McCormick. You're like, she's perfect.
Yeah. And I still, and as you know, because I always send the memes of, I know. So whenever anybody tells like maybe that she's pretty, she's like, I know.
You said that the other day to me, and I was like, I know.
That's how she, because people, I'll be giving her a stroll, and people are like, oh, she has such pretty markings. And she always responds, I know.
Love in the movie when they see Sam there at 3 a.m. What are you doing, Sam? Oh, I was just dropping off some meat. And it's not questioned. They're like, oh, okay. Hey, hello.
All right.
Just dropping off some meat.
Yeah. And still, at least once a week, I'm like, what, am I invisible? I had that idea 3 days ago.
Did they ever explain why they were widowed? They did, right?
Yeah.
They passed away, right?
We'll refer to Brian, who's more of a Brady.
Oh, he's a Brady Bunch guy?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, he would know right off the top of his head. So
we'll have to defer. Brian,
make up something horribly wrong and just to rile him up.
Well, I heard they were kidnapped by aliens, and that's what I'm going to tell all the listeners, and that's what I'm going with.
Oh, we'll so many out. Things. Yeah, we could do a darker version of the Brady Bunch.
Do you visit the Rocky franchise at all?
No.
You just don't like them, or you're just...
No, I mean, to me, Rocky 3 was... I remember seeing that. That was the first Rocky I saw in the theater, and that was kind of a little bit more mainstream. And then the rest kind of after 5 to, and then when they stopped using numerals, I couldn't tell the difference between
yeah. I've been revisiting some of them. You're like, I kind of remember which one this is. This is 3, the one where he fights that guy.
Yeah, but that one
I'm a fan.
Is he gonna win? I don't know
what's gonna happen. And then what have you been watching? Have you been doing anything cool?
Not too much. I just Yellow Jackets, the season finale, just finished.
How was it?
Season 2. I was pretty good. This season was not as kind of, you know, has a little bit of sophomore slump, but it ended on a big note. I think it was good, and anxious to see what they do next. And Christina Ricci is the best. Like
she is.
So just rewind.
She's great in this.
Doesn't even have to say anything. Just a little tilt of her head, and I'm like, she's just perfect. So
she nails it.
And then I'm hoping there's more scenes with her, and Elijah Wood, because they're both probably 5'2" or something. And
yeah, definitely.
But, you know, big eyes, and what I just think, I was like, oh, please find some type of spinoff for them. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. They are. They do kind of complement each other.
I did sit through 13 minutes. I wish it was only 13 minutes.
Is it bad?
Well, it's one of Anne Heche's last films, and it's she had like 2 tornado-ish films, one Supercell, which I haven't seen yet, and one 13 minutes. And so I thought, these movies, tornado's not going to happen until the last act. So you're just kind of slogging along with family drama.
You're just tapping your toes, waiting for the
tornado. Yeah, and they're like, all right, just do other things, you know, while we kind of wait around for the tornado.
The payoff wasn't as good as you.
It was not. It was not. So yeah. it had some decent effects, and it does kind of make me like, okay, what, you know, that's where Twister got it right. They had tornado after tornado. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a big, you know, the big boss at the end for sure. But
right. Yeah. But they did keep you going, which was great.
But so now I'm curious to see. I think it's called Supercell, but I don't think that's streaming anywhere yet. So, but otherwise, not too much. Yeah,
I would say with Twister, the other movies typically do one of two things with those disasters. They do one right off the beginning of the movie just to get it out of the way and get it going, and then one at the end. Twister did all 3, and they kept it going, and that's why that movie is so enjoyable. I think, you know. They give you what you want. It's called Twister, and that's what you're getting for an hour and a half. And they nailed it.
But we'll see. I'm like semi excited for Twisters, but it could go horribly wrong too. I think it's called Twisters for
Twisters. Yeah,
yeah.
Twisters.
Yeah, I'm sure. I wonder if that would have subtitled of some sort.
This time it's personal.
Yeah. They should bring Lorraine. Ellen Brody, just because,
yeah, just kind of
like another random neighbor, like, just no, you can't
have her on a boat in the Twister, like sucked up, and she's still there.
No, she pierces the what do you call it, the water funnel with the boat, and the water funnel explodes. It'd be fantastic,
absolutely.
Somebody can redo that. Oh, did you look at, speaking of like redos, did you watch some of those Superman 4 clips?
Watched them all. Great job. You know what, you're right about the subway and the way they did it. I mean, they're true fans that did that, you know. I mean, it's perfect. I wonder how long that took.
I don't know. So for listeners that didn't listen last week, there's some super fans that have redone Superman 4 clips to make them more New York accurate. And just kind of also improve some ridiculous things of, you know, Lacey Warfield in space with no problem.
And the subway looks like a real subway. It's a real subway.
They make it a New York subway. They did a good job, I thought.
I think so.
Yeah, so it was good. But otherwise, yeah, I haven't watched months. We're going to an advanced screening of The Boogeyman in a couple days, which...
Nice.
I have
Boogeyman.
Pretty good expectations for. So, and I did watch a Tim Tracker on YouTube. I kind of sometimes watch his stuff, but he goes to the Disney parks and so forth in Florida. But he has a long one going to the Jurassic Park store. They created a new Jurassic Park for the anniversary. And so they have a lot of props and behind the scenes stuff. And it was like, it makes me kind of want to go. Yeah. But maybe it's good enough just to kind of see a video. But
does he do how long is the video? I gotta check this out.
I thought it was about 20 minutes. I thought he does a pretty good, he tries to kind of capture everything. So but you know, they have props and behind the scenes photos and kind of a lot of different things.
So cool. And it's going to be 30 years next 2 weeks from now, right?
Yeah, 93. Yeah, yep.
Well, I feel old.
Oh, please.
I saw that 6 times in the theater. I couldn't get enough of Jurassic Park. Well,
nobody could. Everybody wanted to kind of recapture that magic. And
the poster itself was amazing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, everything. And everything. I still remember I was talking about this to my sister, then I'm like, obviously in 93 it was the days of like, you found out if there's an advanced screening in the newspaper, people.
Right, yeah.
And you had to get there early to buy tickets.
It was like concerts then. It wasn't,
yeah.
There's no online. You have to go to the local retailer and wait
and
at 5 a.m.
I'm sure I told this before, like nobody wanted to go with me because I was like, no, this is a special screening, you know, early. We need, this is going to be a big movie. And like, finally I had somebody convince me to go.
Blockbuster.
Yeah. To go with me that night. So
it created a lot of buzz too before. I mean,
yeah. And it was kind of a little bit of, you know, you kind of do ET, you know, not showing anything, you know,
right.
You're just
right.
kind of waiting to kind of see. And that probably kind of made it more magical.
Yeah. I remember when I saw the original trailer, I took away that Dennis Nedry was a father and he was like driving his kids through a park or something. You didn't like know what to expect. And then they showed you the some of the T-Rex stuff before. And you're like, what is this?
Isn't it funny?
Never seen it before.
The stories you make up in your mind when you see a trailer.
Yeah.
And then
it's
the reality.
Book.
And every once in a while, I'll see a trailer. And this has been the anniversary for 40th anniversary for Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when there's Revenge of the Jedi trailers and there'd just be a few photos. And it was enough to start spinning your memory. You know, it's like, oh, they're going to do this.
Yeah, what's going
to
happen?
They're going to this jungle planet first. And
right. Revenge of the Jedi. It's you have the story in your head and that's what you're sticking to. It's
oh, yeah.
Fun.
I remember being so excited. I saw Princess Leia with all of her hair down. I'm like, how is she? She's never done
what
that
is
before.
This?
Yeah. Who knows?
It blows your mind. You're like, oh my gosh.
It's going to be an Ewok village.
Right. An Ewok village.
But these are my friends.
These are my
friends. C-3PO, tell them.
Tell them. C-3PO. Oh, I'm going to try that.
Even at 13, I remember in the theater, like, this isn't very good.
Even young Robert's like,
yeah.
Now. No, I'm going to watch wait till Ghostbusters comes out next year.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be so good.
That's going to be so great. All right. That's what you've been watching. And we're going to get into revisiting the Razzies year by year. And I can't believe we've done 6 of these already because tonight is the 7th Golden Annual Raspberry Awards, Robert.
Woo-hoo!
It's 1986 films. And I feel like this list, I've seen more on this list than any other year we've done so far.
Oh. Absolutely. So, and I don't know, should we go in backwards like we usually do? I don't know.
Sure.
All right. So, and backwards, according to their list, Worst Career Achievement Award, and little they know, goes to Bruce, the rubber shark from Jaws, Jaws
Yay.
2, and Jaws 3D.
Well, did they know what was in store?
Yeah, that it was I wonder if they do a double down worst career achievement. Like,
yeah,
like,
I'm curious about that.
It does get worse. Yeah, poor Jaws. Like, Jaws is also one of those when they released on video, they opened the mat, but also didn't. When they opened the mat, they realized that you could see. They still released it, and you know, you could see all the underworkings and the of the shark and everything, and they just didn't care. So.
And they just like, nope, it is what it is.
It is. So I think this might be a new category. Worst visual effects?
I think so.
So the winner was Howard the Duck, which fair. I don't know if really had the worst visual effects, but it was probably one of the worst movies. So
agreed.
The duck, Howard the Duck, he was creepy. So I don't.
Yeah.
That adds to it. So but the runner ups was Invaders from Mars.
I like Invaders from Mars.
I do too. It's kind of one of those, and this is the remake, of course. I liked it. Louise Fletcher, and I did some locations for that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, King Kong Lives, which really
so great.
Should be the winner.
So great. Do you want me to run through the Invaders from Mars locations real quick?
No, if you want to. I don't know. Have you ever looked at the locations for that? So
I have.
Yeah, so.
I'll save them for later then.
We'll save them for later. So.
I do like that movie a lot. I think you did a good job.
It is good. So, worst original song. So some of the runner-ups were Shanghai Surprise from the movie Shanghai Surprise.
Okay.
Life in a Looking Glass from That's Life. Who knows?
That's Life.
I Do What I Do from 9 1/2 Weeks. So this is when we're kind of getting the SEX movies.
Yeah. They're throwing them in there.
Yeah. Howard the Duck from Howard the Duck. And then Love or Money from Under the Cherry Moon, written by Prince in the Revolution. So,
okay. All right.
Which I'm sure that can't be the worst of the worst from that year.
No, absolutely not.
They probably just had it out for him. So
I wonder if Batman gets on there too when Prince did that song.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I'll be curious. So, Worst New Star, Joan Chen from Taipan. Mitch Gaylord in American Anthem. I think this is what I was confused. Remember last week there was some Gymkhana, and I was thinking, I was like, there's somebody else. I was thinking of this movie.
American Anthem?
Yeah, Mitch Gaylord, like another Olympic person that thrust into a movie.
Right. They all blur together.
Yes. Kristen Scott Thomas for Under the Cherry Moon. And Brian Thompson in Cobra, which we just talked about last week. So,
yeah, Brian Thompson, he was the bad guy.
Yeah, he was one of the bad guys, and they were the bad gang. They were all creepy. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Don't
you think Cobra was a little bit darker than you would expect from typical fare? I mean, it's like action, but it's like scary sometimes.
It was scary, you know, because when I was that age, it was still felt like it was kind of a slasher movie disguised as a thriller, you know. Yeah. But that's kind of what they did back then. But the winner, or winners, I should say, for Worst New Star were the six guys and gals and the duck in the duck suit in Howard the Duck.
Congratulations.
They just threw all those little people under the bus. So
yeah. The eyes in the costume were creepy. Yeah. And
then I think there's some video out there where they kind of redid it or whatever, and it's actually even creepier, like a more realistic.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, and it's like, oh, I'm like, just let's not do this at all, maybe, I think.
You know the scoop. I got to find that. Wow. Yeah,
it's just, ugh. Worst screenplay, and these are all movies we just talked about, Under the Cherry Moon, Shanghai Surprise, 9 1/2 Weeks, Cobra, and the winner, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck. Well-deserved.
Worst director, Michelle Manning for Blue City. Stephen King for Maximum Overdrive. Oof.
Forgot he directed that.
That was the whole point of going to see the movie, because it's like, this is it. I'm going to scare the hell out of you. He was in the trailers. And
what's his cameo in there? Was he at the ATM?
Yeah. He's like, this,
right.
Machine just called me an asshole or something like that.
You know, the book, it was based on the book Trucks, if you remember.
Yeah, it was a short story. Yeah.
Short story. The short story is scary. It's good.
Yeah, and it was, the reason it was short, because like, if you don't want to think about it too much, because you're like, wait a second,
No, not at all. Exactly. Yeah. It was perfect. And then the movie with
that
long opening and just too much sweaty Emilio Estevez outside the gas station, and you're like, where are they going from here?
That's always kind of trashy people. And
do you visit that movie ever?
Every once in a while, because I saw it in the theater. I was like, I love Stephen King at the time, and I might have saw it maybe twice in the theater. I don't know.
That truck, the boss truck with the green.
Yeah, and like, it was just he had his share of character actors. Curtis. I was like, ugh.
I gotta isolate that clip and put it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, we made you.
We made you. What was that thing, real quick, with the machine gun? You remember it was like the,
oh yeah, a machine gun came on just a little,
like a dolly cart.
Yeah, yeah, and somehow it was also able to fire. But that's when I think it became a little too long, because then you start like, well, what counts as, does everything count as?
There was a question, because like the blenders were eating people, and you're like, okay, wouldn't the guns turn on you, because they're kind of man-made? Like, yeah, it was weird.
Somebody couldn't. But it had some great moments. Is that Marla Maples in it? I think so. I think she has a little cameo. One of the best scenes was the Little League with the sodas flying out, impossibly flying out, whatever. But the kid getting run over by the steamroller was fantastic. I mean, people were like screeching in the theater, I remember at that. So it had some good moments, and it
did,
fun in that way. Now I kind of wish they kind of almost did a sequel, like in a Gremlins 2 sort of way, where they're like poking fun at it a little bit, you know, where like they're like, so if this is electric, why does that, you know, like kind of.
Right. Yeah. Why doesn't this work?
Yeah. And something like that. But
because the gun cart firing was it made you question it.
Yeah. They did remake it and it was called Trucks. And it was a little, it was not fun at all. It took itself a little too seriously. So
I've seen Trucks. It's not fun at all.
It's kind of dull. But
yeah. Yeah. It's not good.
Also, worst director for Howard the Duck, Shanghai Surprise, and then the winner was Prince for Under the Cherry Moon.
Prince. I haven't seen Under the Cherry Moon. Is that
once. It was, it's not that. No. It wasn't that entertaining, I guess. So not as good a follow-up. So.
Okay.
Worst supporting actress, Kristen Scott Thomas for Under the Cherry Moon. I think they just had it out for them.
They really did.
Yeah, Beatrice Straight in Power. Zelda Rubinstein in Poltergeist 2.
Oh, Zelda. She's so iconic.
It's 86, so I'm wearing my Poltergeist 2 t-shirt today.
Yes! The other side.
That was an experience seeing opening night.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I was so excited. Like, sequel to Poltergeist?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
You know what's weird? I don't rewatch that much. I watched the first one and the third one for obvious reasons more. The second one I've only seen, I think, maybe like twice. I never really like got into it that much.
It's a semi-worthy follow-up. You could tell it felt a little slicker, and you know, it just kind of wasn't the same, but at least it had some of the similar soundtrack, and I liked it that way. So Louise Fletcher for Invaders from Mars.
Oh.
Come on.
give that movie a break.
Yeah.
Let me check your neck.
I suppose Karen Black wasn't now, because she's kind of equally as, there's a lot of overacting happening in Invaders from Mars, but
there was,
but it was kind of overblown movie anyway, but worst party actress, the winner was Dom DeLuise in Drag for Haunted Honeymoon.
I've never seen it. Is it?
It is,
it good?
Is not a good movie.
Gene Wilder's in it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Haven't seen.
So it's one of those, you know, where they keep trying to recapture the comic. It's like, it's done, you know.
And yeah. Like, oh, is that how it was?
Yeah, you know, how could you go wrong with all these comedians? Like, well, you can.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah. Worst supporting actor, Scott Wilson in Blue City, Brian Thompson in Cobra.
What? Come on.
Tim Robbins in Howard the Duck, Peter O'Toole in Club Paradise. I do remember seeing Club Paradise.
Did you?
It was not good as well.
Peter O'Toole. Robin Williams is in it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be kind of another fight. Rick Moranis, Eugene Levy. It's about the same thing.
Oh,
all
yeah,
these
yeah,
great
yeah.
comedians.
Yeah. Right.
Boom, fell on its face. Not
this wasn't. This was not good.
Yep. So, but the winner was Jerome Benton and Under Cherry the Moon. Yeah, they hated it. So
they hated Under the
they
Cherry
hated
Moon.
It. Worst actress: Ali Sheedy in Blue City, Brigitte Nielsen for Cobra,
mm-hmm.
Joan Chen in Taipan, Kim Basinger in 9 and a Half Weeks. Phew. So winner. This is probably not too much of a surprise. A
like
Shanghai surprise, but Madonna was winner's worst actress.
Leave her alone.
I'm sure she will show up many more times in future Razzies.
What? Which came first, this movie or her and Sean Penn's relationship? This came first and they started dating because of it, right?
As a Madonna fan, I'm going to answer. I was like, I have no idea.
I have no idea. You don't have time for that nonsense.
Yeah, I really don't know. I should be more versed. I was not into Madonna in this era, so.
No, okay.
I wasn't really kind of following her around, but.
Oh, but yeah. How dare them? How dare them?
Well, I'm sure she's, actually, I've never seen this movie either.
You're not going to go rent Shanghai Surprise?
You know, I watch a Madonna movie like every 5 years, so.
Do you really?
Like, Dick Tracy was 5-ish years ago, so at some point I'll get to Shanghai Surprise.
Okay, we'll have to put it on the homework list.
Oh,
I say it like I've seen it. I'm like, you gotta watch it, Robert. You gotta see it.
It's so good.
It's just so good.
Worst actor: Sylvester Stallone in Cobra. Not surprised. Right. Sean Penn in Shanghai Surprise. All right. Judd Nelson in Blue City. Sweaty Emilio Estevez in Maximum Overdrive.
A bad job in the movie. It's just a bad movie.
Yeah, he was fine. I think. I mean,
he's fine.
Worst actor: Prince in Under the Cherry Moon. I think people just bug him, and then that's how they.
I think somebody had
had
an issue with Prince.
Yeah. So moving towards worst picture: Shanghai Surprise, Cobra, Blue City, and there was a tie for the winners. Under the Cherry Moon and Howard the Duck.
See, that could have went either way with them based on this list, and I guess they couldn't decide.
It's a toss up.
It's a toss up. You've seen Under the Cherry Moon?
It just once, many, many years ago. But I'm actually disappointed that I feel like, you know, King Kong Live should be at least a nominee.
Yeah, you would think so.
You know,
based on that one scene alone.
Yeah. Here's my thing with some of these Razzies: they should be fun, bad movies, not boring, bad movies.
That's a good assessment. I agree. They should be bad, bad movies, and it's fun to poke at, not not boring.
No.
You know? Because in the spirit of the Razzies, as you know, sometimes good sport will show up and accept a Razzie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it. I did something bad. It's not for everybody.
Linda Hamilton could have came if she was nominated for King Kong Lives and did her wonderful lines.
Yeah, and we would have loved it.
Yes.
How does the Razzies play out? In this day and age, what's the
now? I think it's kind of a thing where they kind of have a show and so forth. And I think they always kind of it's grown over the years. And then I'm not sure what happened during COVID. I'm sure it kind of went down. But I do obviously you see more videos when the Halle Berry shows up or something like that, or Julia Roberts I think came too and handed out DVDs if I remember. But,
did she? What movie was it for?
I can't remember. We'll have to wait till that shows up, I think. But
okay, I'm gonna have to. I'm excited for the Razzies in the future because a lot of times when I read IMDb, it'll be like, you know, nominated for a Razzie or Wikipedia, and you're like, really, that movie? And you're like, Sometimes they miss.
Yeah, and I feel like they left a lot of films off the table here for 1986. So
because
we had some other bad stuff.
There was some bad ones.
Yeah.
Do you think that King Kong Lives was poorly misrepresented this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, one nomination?
I know, come on.
They should have 11.
I love Lady Kong in there, and that was like part of the marketing.
Like,
Lady Kong.
See, she could have been Worst New Star nominee at the very least.
I agree. I agree. Do you think King Kong, what's that?
So maybe we should redo the Razzies at some point, but anyway.
I think so. Yeah. Do you think King Kong is superior than Godzilla franchise overall? Tough question, right?
It is a tough question. So,
because Godzilla, I feel like you get more.
Yeah, they have more quantity.
More quantity.
Yeah,
but I don't know. There was never Godzilla with big tweezers getting his heart operated on. So I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have a more of a soft spot for, you know, King Kong 76. So
me too. Yeah. That's actually a great movie. I think I love it. It's just, it's so much fun. All right, next we're going to do Blind Man's Bluff. I'm going to read off the description, and Robert's going to have to guess what this is. So,
all right.
Are you loosened up and ready?
Okay.
And the description is, although this has nothing on the original, this movie was a worthy sequel with some memorable moments. Although a lot of the cast returned, the flavor of the first film was gone. The film shot 10 weeks at MGM's Culver Studios, stages 27 and 30, as well as a handful of locations. Including
Poltergeist 2?
Oh, there it is. Where's Spider Rock?
Did you know we were covering it tonight? Or it was a nominee?
I changed it up for this. Because
and I'm actually wearing the shirt, too. Oh, did you?
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
No wonder you were so excited.
I was so excited. I just had to get it out there.
Poltergeist 2.
I'm going to share my screen. The
the
opening credits, let me share this here. What was going on in the opening credits here? Was that just a random shot or?
No, that was, he was up on the movie starts with him calling a spirit. And,
that's it.
It pulls back and you realize then he's on the very top of this thing.
That's it. Okay.
And I remember like, how do you get up there?
Oh, that's him up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. All right. What do we got here, sir?
And then, so now we're on to Chatsworth, California. So, so this is where they're kind of going by all the houses. So, Cuesta Verde just kind of became downtrodden after this house vanished or explosion. And apparently some stuff is still on fire or something like that. So, but
right, what was going on with that?
I don't know. Just everybody moved. And so what they needed to do is they couldn't go to the original house, the neighborhood, because they needed to find a empty lot where the house used to sit. So, so if you go backwards from that one, you can kind of see this is kind of where he kind of pulls up into this pit. But anyway, so we go back to that later, but
okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it did become downtrodden and they're kind of like,
what's going on? Yeah.
Sorry, my computer might be slow.
It's been a little slow, but so Grandma Jess's house, I think it's supposed to be in Arizona, but it is actually in Altadena. So,
as you do.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I found this house 15 years ago, I think, or something like that. I don't think anybody else had found it up to that time. So, yeah, 2010. But I was reading a press thing, and they mentioned Altadena, and that's how I started searching Altadena, and that's kind of found the house. So,
cool.
Then, the mall, was found kind of by another fellow location jet set jetter.
There's a movie theater there.
Yeah, they asked Oliver Robbins knew exactly where they shot it, so he kind of pointed the way. So it looks so, obviously they've updated quite a bit, but you can still tell what was what. Yeah. You know, just kind of by the looks of it.
There's a great cheesesteak place there called Philly's Best.
Is there? Yeah. And I had a brunch down on the lower level, I remember, at some point.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Because obviously they shot Cobra Kai right in front of their the series as well. So
yeah.
I did have a friend at the time that we went all the way to the front porch to take some pictures. There. Do not recommend, but you know what? We're like, nobody had been there. We're like, well, what are
when
you
in Rome? Yeah.
Yeah. But let's see what it's about. So
you got to plant your Viking flag. Yeah,
a lot of this kind of looks pretty much the same over the years. So yeah, that was kind of one of my favorite little spots.
It's a cool entry.
Yeah.
Why is he holding the feather again?
I can't remember. Like I need to revisit this. Yeah. I think it was to protect the family. So I'm not sure, but.
Okay.
But yeah. And then they actually replicated this house in a model form for a lot of special effects shots, but they did a good job. Yeah. I think that's actually a model. But yeah. So
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Then they go back to Chatsworth. And actually, that's how I found where this was at near the end. They're in daylight and you can see that kind of iconic little rock formation in the background. So, cause I think right under that is the original Spahn Ranch.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So
this was at the end of the movie.
Yep. So that's where he takes the car and they're like, wait, how are we going to get home? And they run after and the theme, Poltergeist theme starts again. So, and it looks like Simi Valley there, you know?
Close enough.
It's just on the other side of the mountains there.
No, I get it. Yeah, it's perfect. That's cool. And here's you with
wearing the same shirt.
That's so cool. I love it.
Yeah. And actually I have his shirt that he's wearing too. So I think I might have bought it from him, if I remember right. So
really?
The Poltergeist clown shirt. It's a great shirt.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Where was this at?
St. Joseph, Missouri.
Okay. Convention of sorts.
It was they called it the Kansas City Crypticon, even though it was in St. Joe. But I like that one because it's like a tiny little thing. They always got great guests there.
So that's cool.
Not that year, but that was one of them where it was close enough that Heather Langenkamp was there. So I actually brought that my Elm Street door to since I could drive it, you know, and put it in my car for her to sign.
Oh, cool. St. Joseph, Missouri. They bring them out.
They do.
Well, that's a good page. The Poltergeist 2-1. You did good work on that.
Thank you. I don't know if there's any missing locations, but I didn't go out to I know Paul Slattery went to some of the opening desert locations, but I think in Arizona. Yeah. I don't really do Arizona.
No. Is Arizona side by side with Texas for you, where you just don't do it really?
I don't know. It's just, what's the rest of the development line? I'd rather be dead in LA than alive in Arizona.
It's true. Yeah, I'd imagine there's a few places where you're like, it's just not worth the trip to go there.
Yeah. Texas Frightmare is going on right now. And I'm like, I don't think I can go back to Texas just on principle.
No.
Yeah. Can't do it. Yeah.
Texas is in the news lately a lot.
Oof.
A lot going on. Well, we're not going to go there because this is a fun podcast. And we only talk about Poltergeist and Maximum Overdrive. Do you have a Maximum Overdrive page?
I do not. I've not been down there. So that's Wilmington. So when I get down there, because, you know, that's where they've shot quite a few movies down there. So I do need to get down there and do a proper trip, Cat's Eye, Halloween Kills, lots of stuff.
Halloween Kills, right.
The one Halloween movie I've not done any locations for or visited.
That's the only one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. For some reason, I thought you did them all, but I guess that would be
it. Well, I found them all. I mean, I made a page for it, for sure, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
But you actually want to physically, tangibly be there.
I should be a completist and actually go, but...
You are a completist.
Yeah.
Yeah. But... If you're going to do something, do it right, as Robert always says. He does? Yes, he always says.
Why not?
Why not? Okay, we're going to do some homework, and we're going to find more about the Brady Bunch for the next show.
Yes.
Find out the genesis of why these folks were single to begin with. We'll report back.
Brian will tell us, I'm sure.
We will be kept informed, no doubt. Anyway, happy Memorial Day weekend to you, sir.
Likewise. Everybody enjoy the long weekend. Get your rest.
Enjoy. Get some rest. And we'll see you next week on the set. Good night, everybody.